Hello, and welcome to A Writer's Journey. I'm Sarah Whitford, and my co-host is Taryn Zepke. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about independent publishing options. And there's a lot to talk about here, because so many things have changed for independent authors in recent years. Used to, if you wanted to publish your book independently, you had to have a lot of money and either be willing to go through a vanity press, which, I mean, all by itself doesn't sound very good, or you had to have the means to do, you know, your own book design files and then hire a printer to print some quantity of books, and then you just had to hope that you would be able to find a way to sell them, whether it was to friends and family or local bookstores or what have you. Well, these days, not only can you publish a book at little to no cost, you also have various publishing options available. Terrence, what are some of the options that we have available today? For people in the independent author publisher arena?
Well, pretty much you're talking about ebooks and print books. Uh-huh. And those are the options that you have there. So you can do either one or you can do both. As you know, when I printed my Happy Halloween book, that was a little pet project of mine. Uh-huh. The publisher wasn't necessarily interested in doing, but it was something I wanted to do. And I didn't see it as a print book, even though you and I have talked about this and you thought I should. I really just saw it as an ebook.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of reasons. But so I did that one as an ebook, and I put it out there in all kinds of different markets there, from Kobo to Smashwords to Amazon and everything like that. So that was just a book that I didn't feel was appropriate to do in print and ebook. But usually you want to maximize your market and do both.
That's right. And these days there's even the option of creating an audiobook from your book, and we're not going to talk a whole lot about that today, but Amazon has ACX now, which will allow you, if you're a writer, to audition people who will narrate your book, or you can record a narration of your book yourself, or you can get someone else you know to do it. So there's a lot of options available there. But today we are going to be focusing on print and ebook publishing options. And you might not know that there are different options available, different good options available. I can talk from my experience with my book that was published last month. Let's see, it's April. We're in April 2015 now. My book came out in March of this year.
Tell us the title.
The Smuggler's Gambit. I feel like I say it on here so much that people get tired of hearing about it. But nevertheless, when I published that last month, it was I published it through CreateSpace, yes, which everyone knows about. But there's also a really good option, which is Ingram Spark. Ingram. Now, as a traditionally published author, you know a lot about Ingram as a company, right, Terrence? Can you explain a little bit about what Ingram is?
There are certain wholesalers, distributors of books that, and it used to be in publishing that there was no other way that you were going to sell a book if it wasn't carried by Ingram or Baker & Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two big ones. Baker & Taylor is mainly with the libraries and other specialty things, and Ingram is with all the bookstores and all. So if they didn't carry your books, then you weren't getting put in Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has changed, and Ingram has recognized that. And so getting in on all of the new indie publishing arena, they've introduced Ingram Spark. That's a way that indie publishers, because it used to be you had to set up an account, you had to get approved, you had to have so many titles. I mean, there was a whole big procedure to it. And so somebody that had one book like you, it was hopeless.
Right.
And so now, like I said, that they're cashing in, if you will, on the new indie publishing craze, and they offer Ingram Spark. And I don't know a lot about how that works, but I do know that that is an alternative to CreateSpace, because, you know, the problem with CreateSpace is that is Amazon.
Right, that's true. And, you know, I do want to mention, and we're going to have some great links and information in the show notes about this episode, but I initially had only heard of CreateSpace. That's what, you know, a lot of people have heard of just because of Amazon. If you haven't heard of either of these services, first of all, know that they are print-on-demand services, which is a fantastic option. What it means is your book is not printed unless someone orders a copy, or unless you, as the author, order a box of books for yourself. The price is still able to be down quite low, and then But then as books are ordered, whether it's through Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or what have you, books are printed on demand. And so that way you're not printing 1,000 books and then finding out that you either can't sell them or that there was some sort of mistake in your files. Can you imagine what a nightmare that would be? But I decided to actually go with both CreateSpace and Ingram Spark. And the reason why is I had done some research about it. I had found a really fantastic article on the website for the Alliance of Independent Authors, also known as Ally. I will link that in the show notes. But it compares the two services, but it explains that it's really, really a good option to make CreateSpace your source for any books that are going to be sold on Amazon. That would mean your print books that get sold on Amazon as well as books for the Kindle. But then you can use Ingram for other distribution, whether it's Barnes & Noble or local bookstores and what have you. Because the thing is, a lot of bookstores will tell you, if you go and try to talk to them about getting your book in to their store, they'll say, we won't even consider ordering books from CreateSpace. They know about CreateSpace, but they won't order from CreateSpace. The bookseller discounts are not right.
Well, because it's Amazon.
Yeah, that too.
That's a big taboo.
That's a big part. But the wholesale discount that the booksellers get is not the same. There's the issue with returns, because a lot of bookstores, such as Barnes & Noble, will not even consider carrying your book if you don't offer returns on the book. And Ingram Spark allows you to set a setting in your book file as to whether or not you will allow returns on your books. And just as a point of interest, if anyone wants to know, I do not have the returns option turned on for my book. At some point in the future, I might, though, but I have my reasons for that. We could probably cover that in another episode. But nevertheless, it would be really good if you would use both services, both CreateSpace and Ingram Spark, because then you're sort of covering all of your bases.
That sounds logical.
Okay, and so in addition with Ingram Spark, they also have an ebook conversion service. But the thing with Ingram Spark, the disadvantage with Ingram Spark in comparison to CreateSpace is Ingram Spark charges fees for your file setups, whereas CreateSpace, you can do everything at no cost, I believe. Of course, if you want to, you can dip into their premium services like book cover design and so forth. CreateSpace offers free ISBN numbers, but if you would prefer, you can get your own ISBN number from Balker. Terrence, can you explain a little bit about what the difference with that is? Are you very familiar with that?
I think we're going to talk about that in actually the next session. We're going to talk about the behind-the-scenes stuff with the buy, set, code, and ISBN and all that. So I think that's kind of a whole different discussion.
Okay. Well, in summary of that, just because I don't want to tease the information and not tell you anything, with CreateSpace, you have the option of choosing their free ISBN number, and that, of course, it's great because it's no cost, but it also identifies CreateSpace as your book publisher. Whereas if you purchase your own ISBN numbers, you can set up your own publishing company and print the books under your own publishing company name, which is definitely an advantage. And it won't have that big red flag about CreateSpace right on your book.
Now, I do know, though, I have read where they say that if you do your own ISBN with CreateSpace, then there's certain expanded distribution that you're not eligible for.
Okay.
And that's into libraries and other outlets like that. So.
Sure, but if you're also using Ingram Spark, then that sort of does away with that whole problem, because then you're using Ingram Spark for the rest of your distribution anyway. So, and as for quality, some people talk about the quality of the books. What kind of book quality you have with CreateSpace versus Ingram Spark? Personally, I like both of them. I think they both have outstanding quality. I actually prefer CreateSpace, although I have heard some people say that they like the quality of Ingram Spark books better. I think the Ingram Spark books, the paper quality is a little bit thinner. And so, depending on what kind of light you're reading in, you sometimes can get some bleed through on the pages. But one advantage as far as book printing that Ingram Spark has that CreateSpace doesn't is you can print full color books with Ingram Spark and hardcover books. And I think you can print full color books with Amazon too, but Amazon doesn't, or CreateSpace doesn't have an option for hardcover books, if I remember correctly. So if you wanted to, for instance, release a book the way a lot of traditionally published authors do and have a hardcover first and then go to a paperback, you could certainly do that through Ingram Spark, whereas you wouldn't have that option with CreateSpace. And just because you have your book with Ingram Spark doesn't mean it's not going to be on Amazon. If you only had your files, for instance, the hardcover version through Ingram Spark, it could still be sold on Amazon, because Amazon's not going to not sell books just because they're coming from Ingram Spark rather than CreateSpace. So,
well, why don't you tell everybody about the difference in the cost with it? Because I think you did some kind of cost breakdown for one of your posts where you explained the difference of like what you'd make if you did it with Ingram as opposed to CreateSpace. Maybe that was just for expanded distribution. I'm not sure, but you had some kind of, I remember some kind of analysis.
There is. Actually, and that's a very good point. This is one of the key reasons why you would want to use both services, CreateSpace and Ingram Spark. When you are using Amazon, first of all, as I mentioned, the wholesale discount situation is a little bit different, but in addition, a lot of booksellers aren't going to buy the books from CreateSpace. With Ingram Spark, you can set your own wholesale discount. You can set it at 40% a discount if you want, which ends up being, I'm not clear yet on whether or not Ingram Spark takes any sort of percentage as a distributor for those books. I don't know that they do unless, I don't know that they do, and I need to do a little bit more research about that, and I'll put it in the show notes. But I do know that you can set your bookseller discount, I believe, as low as like 30 or 35% on Ingram Spark, and you could set it, you know, at 55%, which is sort of a standard, because then what happens is Ingram Spark would get like the 15% distributor discount, plus the bookseller would get their typical 40% discount. So you as the author end up with 60%. So if you had a book, for instance, that was $10, okay, let's say you had a book that the retail cost of the book was $10, then you would end up making $6, but then you, of course, have to take out the cost of printing the book. And then if you're just dealing directly with a bookseller, it's usually a 60-40. So the bookseller is going to get the book at a 40% discount. So they're going to pay you that $6, and then, of course, you take your costs out of that. But if you are using a distributor, and if Ingram Spark is your distributor, then you are going to be getting a little bit less. It ends up being 15% Ingram Spark, 40% for the bookseller of a discount, and then you end up with what it ends up being 45% of the retail cost for the book. And again, you have to remember that you're taking the cost out of that. And as I'm describing this, it sounds confusing, but as I said in the show notes, you know, I'll include.
Well, let me
figures.
Ask you two things. First off, when you do CreateSpace, it's my understanding Amazon will break down your 35%, 70% profit, whatever. It will, your royalties, it'll tell you what it costs and what you'll make. Does mm-hmm. Ingram have that same
yes.
thing?
Yes, okay. They sure do. And it, you know, once you figure in, you know, whether you're going to do the 55% discount, you know, using Ingram as a distributor versus Amazon's expanded distribution network, you know, it's more similar cost comparison as far as what you're going to make in royalties, but again, the problem is booksellers are not going to buy books from CreateSpace. I mean, they're just generally not going to buy books from CreateSpace, whereas with Ingram Spark, you have a much better chance.
But you could use CreateSpace to print your books and then use a different distributor than Ingram Spark.
That's true. And correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if you know much about this, Terrence, but it seems like I've heard, though, that most distributors won't take you on if you just have one book. So you'll have to wait until you have more than one book out.
It is true that they want multiple titles, but there are some small distributors that will take you once you have a little handful of books. You don't have to have 100 books or whatever, you know, which I think is the threshold for Baker & Taylor or something.
Okay.
So, you know, and things are changing all the time, as you can tell. Ingram, who really was hardcore. Up until recently here with the Ingram Spark program, that's changed. So, you know, you really just have to keep an eye and listen to podcasts like ours and do your research, because this stuff is constantly changing. And speaking of changing, I guess I wanted to make sure this was something that went off in my head when you were talking to mention this, that when you're factoring in your price, if you're going to put your price on your back cover, on your barcode or whatever, then you need to be thinking about what your discounted price is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is your retail price going to be that you're going to be able to make money off of this after you've given, say, a 40 or 55%, you know, mm-hmm. wholesale rate.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah. So don't just think about that. You know, you've got to think about, okay, after you've done all these discounts and all, what is your bottom price here that you can actually make money, because you don't want to be breaking even or losing money.
That's exactly on your right. Book. That's exactly right.
Okay.
Well, then we also need to talk about ebooks.
Okay.
Of course, with ebooks, you know, everybody knows about Kindle. The Amazon's version of the ebook distribution would be KDP. And so if you publish a book through CreateSpace, or whether you have a print book or not, like, for instance, Terrence was mentioning her little Halloween book, which I still think she should offer as a print book, but nevertheless, if you have a book through CreateSpace, they will also give you an option to just go ahead and upload, you know, your files and set the title up for KDP, which is Kindle Direct Publishing.
For a fee.
I don't think that there was a fee for my book when I moved my. I didn't have them do any sort of layout though. I don't know if you're talking about doing any sort of layout, but
I think when they convert it from print to to digital format, I believe that there is a fee.
Okay, well, I think I must not have just paid a fee, because I just uploaded my own. I mean, they did create the title for me, but I.
Maybe you converted. It seems like I remember you did your own conversion.
Well, see, that's the thing, is I did create my own ebook file. I didn't have Amazon create my ebook file.
Okay,
I mean,
but there is a fee if there's no fee if you have it ready and you just upload it. But
right. There
is a fee.
Okay.
Because I, of course, am not technically savvy like Sarah. So I have to, but you can get, like, Sarah did a tutorial and figured it out and knew how to do the little headings, chapter things, the links, and all that good stuff
mm-hmm.
that makes it readable on a device like a Kindle
mm-hmm.
or an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
But me, myself, I paid a service to convert. And you can and Kindle will do it for you, or there's all kinds of other entrepreneurs that will do it for less and more. I've seen the pricing.
That's right. But see, your only options, of course, are not Kindle, because there's
right.
the Nook device. So you would use Nook Publishing, which is Barnes & Noble's e-reader. There are also options of using iBooks, which is the iTunes Store bookstore.
That is so user unfriendly.
Okay,
I'm
I've
just
going
to say it out there.
I've heard that. And you know what? I haven't used a lot of the other services because, of course, I put The Smuggler's Gambit in KDP Select when it came out as an e-book, which we're going to have to talk about that in another show because... Yes, we'll just talk about that in another show. But anyway, I put it in KDP Select, which means right now my book is only available on the Kindle. But I am familiar with the fact that for the Nook, for, you know, for the iBooks, you have to have a Mobi file. Is that right? No. iPub. I'm sorry, an iPub file.
EPUB.
That's what it is. EPUB file, which I actually have learned to create, and there's software for that. We'll have to cover that in another episode. But nevertheless, if you're going to be uploading your ebook to Smashwords, Kobo, Nook, iBook, whatever the various, you know, other ebook outlets are, there are a lot of different options for you out there. And
let me just say real quick here, if I could jump in and say, they're all very proprietary.
Yes.
And so they all have a different way, whether it's EPUB, whether it's Mobi, whether it's for Android devices, whatever. They all have different things. Now, one thing that I will just say, if you go with Smashwords, they have a conversion program. You just put your file in, and it can be just a Word doc. Or docs, or several other different formats I think they accept.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this thing they call a meat grinder. I kid you not, Sarah. It's called meat grinder. And what it does is it goes through and it converts for every single format that is possibly out there, from Sony to Android to Apple to Kindle to Nook to Kobo to whatever. Every format that's out there. And they just go through and they do all of that. And that's free.
Okay.
And you can check if you don't want them to make it available because you've already done it for Kindle. or you don't want it to sell it in Apple or whatever, you can uncheck those options and it won't be available for them. But that is an option people have if they don't, if that's a free way of, you know, converting your book. So that is another option. I just wanted to kind of briefly mention when we're talking about the ebooks.
I did play a little bit around with both Nook and Kobo. I'm not uploading my book to Smashwords. I'm not convinced about that yet, just because of the digital rights management. But that's again another topic for another show.
Right.
But nevertheless, Kobo and Nook both will let you also upload a Word document, and it will convert, and you know, to some degree, at least for the EPUB, for their specific formats, let's put it that way. And so that's good. But there are tools out there that you can use to help tweak that. If, for instance, it creates a file that you're not entirely happy with, and you can go in and make little changes. But the thing is, there are so many different options available these days for independent author publishers, and so at this point, really the thing you have to just decide is, you know, how do you want to make your book available? And then what are you willing to put into it as far as making a professionally done product? You know, I mean, yes, you can put just any old thing out there. But, you know, I would think nowadays, since writers don't have to spend as much money on the actual printing process of the book, I think it's wise to invest a little bit of money in making sure you've got, you know, good cover design and, you know, layout inside your book and things like that as much as possible. And I think, do we have a show planned for book covers?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we'll be covering that in another episode too. A lot of teasers in this episode. But nevertheless, that gives just a little bit of insight as to the various publishing options that are out there. You know, it never ceases to amaze me, Terrence, when I'm talking to people. There are a few people that I've met who've published, self-published books in the past, and they're astonished when they find out that The Smuggler's Gambit was independently published, and they ask me, who did I use for my printer? And I tell them, you know, that I've, you know, the publishing company I've set up has used both CreateSpace and Ingram Spark, and they've never heard of that. They've never heard of print-on-demand publishing. So, you know, as much as those of us who sort of have our finger on the pulse of the writing and publishing industry, we might know about it. There are a lot of other people who still don't know, and they might be looking at, you know, wanting to publish a book, and they just don't realize how completely easy it can be.
All right. And I guess we should make sure to mention, this is season 2 of A Writer's Journey, and so this year is all about the business of publishing. Mm-hmm. But if you're still in the stage where you're writing your book or revising your book, I would highly recommend you go back to season 1, which is available. You can tell all that good stuff, Sarah, but I think we should let them know that there is a whole season that we devoted to actually getting your book done.
That's right.
And now this season will be publishing, and next season's going to be all about how to sell your book.
Marketing, yes.
Marketing, yes. Your favorite. You're learning, aren't you?
Yes, I'm learning.
I've waited for this day, Sarah.
Oh, boy. Well, nevertheless, as Terrence said, we do have a long backlist of episodes that you can dig into and enjoy. You know, you can, as I always say, you can listen to them while you're washing dishes or driving or riding, you know, commuting from one place to another. And there's a lot of information there for you, answering all kinds of different topics when it comes to writing and now publishing your books. So please check out the backlist on either of our websites. My website is sarahwhitford.com. That's sarahwhitford.com. And Terrence's website is terrencezepke.com. That's terrencezepke.com. Or you can subscribe on iTunes. And we thank you so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to having you with us again. Until next time.